morning and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C.
These killings, abduction and forced disappearance of people, it is not something the government should keep quiet on it.
Tanzania's main opposition party, Chadema, calls for an independent inquiry into abductions of its supporters.
But as of now, as a group that follows and believes in General Muhoozi Kainerugaba, let's go by what he has posted and let's go by what he has communicated to us, that for now, let us rally behind President Museveni and support him.
Uganda's incumbent President Yoweri Museveni receives the endorsement of his son, General Muhoozi Kainerugaba.
It provides an opportunity to deepen a multi-party democracy and also to ensure that at least we can follow the path of rule of law to, at least maintain our stability as a nation.
And Ghana's Electoral Commission approves 13 presidential candidates for the coming December 7 general election. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In Tanzania, the main opposition party, Chadema, is calling for assistance from the government international partners to help launch an independent investigation into the recent abductions of its supporters. John Mrema, Chadema's Director of Protocol, Communications and Foreign Affairs, says an independent inquiry is the only way to determine those behind the kidnappings and killings. His remarks come after local media quoted U.S. Ambassador to Tanzania Michael Battle as saying his country will continue to push for democratic rights as a major principle in its relations with the administration in Dodoma. It comes after embassies of Western countries condemned the recent kidnapping and killing of Alu Mohamed Kibao, a member of Chadema. John Rema tells me that the current situation on the ground demands for an independent inquiry into the abductions.
We need some more pressure from the external world to tell the government of Tanzania that these killings, abduction and forced disappearance of people, it is not something the government should keep quiet on it. But the government should take more action. We ask the government of Tanzania to allow or to ask for international organizations to assist the government in investigating this matter. And we have been very specific that we suspect the people within the state apparatus are involved. They can't do the investigations alone. We need more pressure from the international world, and the government should allow international organizations to investigate so that we can be safe as a country towards the oncoming elections, local government election and 2025 general election.
But Mr. Mrema, some people are saying that by Chadema calling for external assistance, basically you are undermining the sovereignty of the Republic of Tanzania.
No. We are not undermining the sovereignty of the country. And that's why I've just given an example. In 1964, when we had the army mutiny, the government of Julius Nyerere by then asked assistance from the United Kingdom, and Scotland Yard were here. Another incident occurred in 1984 when the Central Bank of Tanzania was banned. The government of Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere by then asked assistance from Scotland Yard. Why the government of Samia Suluhu Hassan think that by asking assistance from outside, it is undermining the sovereignty of the country, while our budget, more than 40%, we are depending on the donors? Is that not undermining our sovereignty? So I think we have to ask for an assistance from the expertise the international world have so that they can assist us to find out exactly who is involved in these killings and abductions in the country.
You are aware that President Samia Suluhu Hassan warned countries to desist from interfering in Tanzania's domestic affairs and violating the 1961 Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations by trying to dictate how Tanzania should handle investigations into the trend of abductions, which has heightened security concerns in Tanzania.
I think that was not right, because by the ambassadors, international organizations, giving out their voices that killings and abductions should not be allowed in Tanzania. It is not the violation of the Vienna Convention. The government of Samia Suluhu Hassan, we are sending armies in different parts of the world to maintain peace and order, because we are part of this of the world. We are part of the international world. Why don't she think that by sending our soldiers, we are undermining the sovereignty of those countries?
John Rema is CHADEMA's Director of Protocol Communications and Foreign Affairs. He spoke with me from the Tanzanian commercial capital, Dar es Salaam. In Uganda, incumbent President Yoweri Museveni has received the endorsement of his son, General Muhoozi Kainerugaba, the Chief of Defense Forces. In a message on X, formerly Twitter, the top army official says he will not compete as a presidential candidate in the next general election in 2026. The move is generating debate, with some analysts saying the decision appears to be a major betrayal of his supporters. David Kabanda, a member of the Ugandan parliament, is also the general secretary of the Patriotic League led by Muhoozi Kainerugaba. He sharply denies that the endorsement is a stab in the back of supporters of the league who want Muhoozi to run for office. Parliamentarian David Kabanda tells me that members of the group will continue to follow the lead of General Muhoozi Kainerugaba.
I first of all want to ask our people to stay calm, because as of this morning, many of our supporters were demoralized. They thought the general who had tweeted about the 2026 presidential elections twice after his endorsement for President Museveni on the same. I want to calm them down that politics has got so many dynamics. Uganda still has around 1 year and 5 months to general elections, and anything can happen. But as of now, as a group that follows and believes in General Muhoozi Kainerugaba, let's go by what he has posted, and let's go by what he has communicated to us, that for now, let us rally behind President Museveni and support him.
Some of his critics are saying this is a major betrayal to the youth who support him, and including members of parliament like yourself, who is the general secretary of the group.
The chairman of the Patriotic League of Uganda, who is also the chief of defense forces, General Muhoozi Kainerugaba, there is no way he could, of course, contest for the presidency without retiring from the army first. So now, if those who are saying that General Muhoozi Kainerugaba has betrayed them, they should also know that he follows the constitution. Do they want him to run before he's retired? Can he even run before he's retired? So let's follow the process. He has not betrayed anybody. He has always supported President Museveni. And what's wrong, by the way, when General Muhoozi Kainerugaba continues to support his father? Because in Uganda, you also know, there are some sentiments, there are some haters who have been moving around telling people that General Muhoozi Kainerugaba is fighting his father. Now, they are hiding under the carpet after this endorsement, because they are the ones who have been moving around telling people how General Muhoozi is fighting his father. Now he has come out to support his father. Another group is saying he has betrayed them. To me, that is total hypocrisy, and I don't believe in that.
The question is, what happens to your group that supports him now that he has decided to endorse his father?
The chairman of the Patriotic League of Uganda, General Muhoozi Kainerugaba, has guided as follows, that all those, the million supporters of the Patriotic League of Uganda, should now focus on mobilizing for President Museveni, because if it's a coalition between the NRM government and the Patriotic League of Uganda, then it must work. We cannot enter into a coalition and it doesn't work, which means all of us must follow what the chairman has said. Two, he has guided as follows. For those who are interested in running for different political positions in Uganda, should for now run under NRM, because NRM is most closely to the Patriotic League of Uganda. So we already have a direction, and we cannot defy our boss.
David Kabanda is a Ugandan Member of Parliament and the General Secretary of the Patriotic League. He spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Ghana's Electoral Commission has approved 13 presidential candidates for the coming December 7 general election. In a press statement, the electoral body said 11 other candidates did not qualify to compete in the polls due to the failure to meet requirements. The qualified candidates include incumbent Vice President Mohamedou Bawumia from the ruling New Patriotic Party, or NPP, John Dramani Mahama from the main opposition National Democratic Congress, NDC, Mohamed Frimpong of the National Democratic Party, NDP, and three independent candidates. This as Ghanaians go to the polls in December to choose a new president, parliament, and local representatives. Mohamed Frimpong, who is excited about his qualification, tells me that the election process will help deepen the country's democracy.
It's provide an opportunity to deepen our multi-party democracy and also to ensure that at least we can follow the path of rule of law to, at least maintain our stability as a nation. What we hope to do is to ensure that at least we can maintain what we call the Christian vision of the framers of this constitution, to ensure that democracy really involves the people and not, allow it to turn into something else. We think by doing so, at least we can maintain this country as stable as, we wish it to be.
According to the Electoral Commission, 13 of you have qualified to compete. Some Ghanaians are saying you are too many, and perhaps the plurality of the candidates makes it easy for the ruling party and by extension incumbent Vice President Bawumia to easily win the presidential contest. What is your take?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there have been attempts in the past to come together. We called ourselves political parties outside parliament, with the acronym POC. Going forward, quite unfortunately, the participants, many of us could not stick to the ideals that we're trying to advance, So at the end of the day, we all have a vision to ensure that at least certain deficiencies, in governance, certain aspects of governance that do not promote full democracy and so on and so forth, differed, probably from one participant to the other.
There are two giant political parties, the governing New Patriotic Party, the main opposition, the National Democratic Congress, and that their two leading candidates are the ones to look for, and that those of you who are independent and who are, they call the minor political parties, are just going to add to the number and spoil votes. What's your reaction to that?
We've been around for some time, quite a long time. The two so-called giants, the duopoly that you are talking about, would not fulfill our ideal or our dream of ensuring multi-party democracy. As a matter of fact, we so-called political parties outside parliament, and now the additional independent candidates that we have, all of us put together, have been a very beneficial moderating factor in ensuring that at least the tension that will have risen, and definitely it is so most of the time with the duopoly becomes a new creature far away from multi-party democracy. We have moderated the system. We are giving alternative views. I think with time, the electorate will understand. As we speak even now, the electorate is quite understanding that, they need an alternative, dispensation that probably might meet national aspiration and so on and so forth.
So, Mohamed, what is your core message to the people of Ghana? And do you think, realistically, you can win, or Ghanaians will have confidence in you to choose you as the next president of Ghana?
We are from a tradition that calls for inclusive and participatory leadership. As a matter of fact, from our political antecedents, you know, and our political past, the framers of the 1992 Constitution envisaged a Christian democracy of the people. And then going forward, we believe that the wealth of the nation is the people. You know, we do not have probably to think that we need so much from outside, because the human capacity, the human capital that we have, you know, are the very means by which we can turn this country around. And we are aiming at zero unemployment. We think we can make it, you know, when we really deploy, you know, the necessary expertise that we have on the ground. Because, look, we have a lot of research findings, gathering dust on the shelves. We must pull all those things down. And we think, you know, this country can attain zero unemployment. So that is what we promise the nation.
Mohammed Frimpong is the presidential candidate of the National Democratic Party, or NDP. He spoke with me from the Ghanaian capital, Accra. The communications director of the Ghanaian ruling New Patriotic Party, or NPP, is calling on the main opposition to join other political parties to engage the Electoral Commission to ensure a credible voters list for the coming December 7 general election. Richard Ahiagba also says only the courts can determine if allegations against the electoral body by the main opposition NDC are legitimate. His remarks came after the NDC held a series of demonstrations demanding an independent forensic audit of the provisional voter registration list compiled by the Electoral Commission. This, as it finalizing the list. For reaction to the demands by the NDC, I reached Richard Ahiagba.
The EC has not arrived at the final register. The process is still unfolding. So the best thing we probably will encourage the NDC to do, which we are doing, is to go through the process. And if at the end of the process, when EC submits a certain register to us and we feel that we see that there are anomalies in it, then we can raise those. Right now at the table, whilst the EC is going through the process of exhibition and making sure the register is cleaned and reflects the true state of affairs, we as a political party are invited and to be seated at the table. The NDC is invited to be seated at the table. So it's a process now to bring out whatever anomalies you see, and those will be fixed. So it's not strange, it is not new that you find anomaly and this is the time to bring it, and you are rather on the street demonstrating instead of sitting at the table to correct it.
So the question some are asking in Ghana is the NDC's concerns and issues they've raised legitimate, in your view?
Well, the only person who can say they are legitimate is a court of law. But what they are engaged in is a political process. And we as a political party, the New Patriotic Party, over the years have engaged the EC with certain reforms. And if you go through the record of things, the major, major reforms that have come along the line from 1992 to stabilize and make our electoral system rigorous have come from the New Patriotic Party, and those landmark decisions that have come from the courts to compel the EC constitutionally, legally, to take certain steps that has been adjudged by the Supreme Court to say to be a fair and a legal way to go. The NDC, as we speak, have not gone to court to use the legal system, because, you know, the Electoral Commission is a creation of the Constitution with the forensic audit they are asking, whichever form they want to explain it to being that we are all sitting at a table or somebody is taking over. It is a process that has never happened before. It is, in simple terms, asking that the role of the Electoral Commission, which has been provided for in the Constitution, be usurped by a forensic team of people. In other words, give the electoral register to some team of people to audit the EC. But the Constitution was clear that the EC must compile and revise the election register. So it doesn't give that right to anybody.
Richard, what do you say to critics from the NDC who say it appears the NPP keeps defending what the EC is doing when the Electoral Commission can defend itself? They are saying there appear to be a collusion to rig the upcoming election. Do you think the criticisms are fair?
If you hear anything that appears to be a defense from the New Patriotic Party, it is only to the extent that the NDC is creating the false impression that we are colluding with the EC, okay, to rig the election. That's the only way you hear anything that appears as a defense. But apart from that, we ourselves are engaged in the process to make sure the register comes out to reflect the true state of affairs. But let me tell you, if they say or create that impression that New Patriotic Party is defending the EC, play back their words to them in 2016, when these issues were being raised, even much earlier than that, in 2012, when these issues were being raised, led by the former president, the flag bearer of the NDC, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, they were mounting podiums and saying that it is for us a preemptive political strategy to demonize the EC. They were defending the EC. While we were in court trying to improve the process, they were saying that their chairman, now, the general secretary, told the whole country that if anybody thought that the EC processes can be manipulated, that person must be a fool. So they have no standing to raise that question. But what we are saying, we are not even defending the EC, but they create the impression we are in collusion with them. That's what we want to make clear, that we are not.
Richard Ahiagba is the communications director of the Ghanaian ruling New Patriotic Party, or NPP. He spoke with me from the capital, Accra. The deputy president of the opposition Namibia Economic Freedom Fighters, or NEFF, says its members will picket the offices of the Electoral Commission this week for frustrating its plans ahead of the coming general election. Longinus Lipumbu says delays by the electoral body on whether to appeal a recent court ruling is undermining the party's efforts to carry out its drive to drum up support. His remarks come after the Electoral Commission said it was reviewing a recent court ruling that set aside a decision that would have prevented the NEFF from participating in the elections. It comes after the Electoral Commission cancelled the party's registration, saying it failed to submit its audited annual financial statement as required by the electoral law. But the opposition party's deputy president Longinus Lipumbu tells me that the Electoral Commission violated the law by cancelling the NEFF's registration without due process.
We had to go back to the constitution and really look at all avenues as to whether this deregistration was really done procedurally. Knowingly that we have this trust in our judiciary system, we knew we are going to win this case. And then that victory that we got, it got us already prepared or preparing with our political program, even though we knew there are individuals within the commissions that are set there to actually favor certain political party. And for us, the deregistration was never necessary because you are playing actually with democracy. So we were very excited that the judiciary itself has also proven itself that it cannot be captured by the individuals who think they can then favor the ruling party.
Well, some people are saying the allegation undermines the integrity of the Electoral Commission, subsequently the upcoming elections, because you don't have any proof to back these allegations. Your reaction to that?
We always have different commissioners after each and every 5 years. So this commission, the current commission, it's really a question of whether they are competent to run the upcoming elections. Already, these incidents that are happening, it's sort of questioning their credibility and whether they will really hold this election in a fair and a transparent manner. So already, imagine, we got that judgment on the 5th of September. But until now, apparently they are studying the judgment. What type or what competent team is that is studying a judgment for almost 20 days?
looking at the fact that the Electoral Commission of Namibia says it is understanding the judgment to decide its next line of action. In the meantime, what will your party do in this instance?
Look, we had tried to engage with the Electoral Commission from the date of the judgment. And when we see that these days are actually accelerating and nothing the commission is coming forth with, already today we have set as the last day to communicate to the Electoral Commission, rather going to camp in front of their headquarters until that answer is being given. So we are not going to tolerate this. And we are not, and we don't want to undermine the integrity of the state of this country, but this is already undermined the current body that is to run the upcoming elections by denying the rights of the people to participate freely politically or associate themselves to political parties of their choice. We will write a notice already this weekend. By Monday, we'll submit it. So by Tuesday, we'll already be on the picketing line.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia said it disregistered the NEFF and the Christian Democratic Voice in June for failing to submit financial statements as required by law. The question is, why would your party fail to submit the financial statement as required by the law?
They know exactly that it's not about the compliance. We have complied with the law as it is, but then media went out to say we did not account. It's not that we did not account. Our books were submitted. Even the date that were given, they said before the 30th, but then they deregistered the organization on the 17th. That is so worrisome. It's cumbersome. Deregistering even before the date that we have set as the deadline. What is that? And imagine, our books are not audited by us. As an organization, you have to acquire an auditor of which you don't have a total control over them, because these are people who does their things perfectly to keep their record clean. And ECM, together with the audit firm that we have acquired, were in communication to say, since we are handling the issue of the NEFF compliance, please give us ample time. And it's not only EFF. It's other all political parties from 2014. All political parties, we were trained to comply with this 2014 Electoral Act.
Longinus Lipumbu is the deputy president of the opposition Namibia Economic Freedom Fighters, or NEFF. He spoke with me from the Namibian capital, Windhoek. In Zambia, the spokesperson for the governing United Party for National Development Party, or UPND Alliance, is calling on former members of the main opposition United Kwacha Alliance, or UKA, and other unaffiliated parties to join his group. Ezra Ngolove also says they should join the winning team, which is best placed in ensuring political stability and effective governance. His comments come after some key leading members of the opposition alliance recently announced their resignation from UKA following sharp disagreement and accusations of bias. Analysts say the apparent confusion in opposition ranks boosts the electoral prospects of the governing UPND alliance. For more about his call for opponents of the administration to join the ruling party coalition, I reach Ezra Ngolove.
First and foremost, there is a trend that alliances do not work out. We came together and formed the opposition alliance, which later on became the UPND alliance, as a vehicle which we are able to deliver a new government to the people of Zambia. It took a lot of sacrifice. And from what we see right now from our colleague in UKA, this and other alliances, we don't see any sacrifice, we don't see any truthfulness among us themselves. And as a result, we are calling upon the people to say, look, why waste time when there is a system that has been tried and tested? Why go around the world looking for or creating a new system or try to invent a new solution when the solution is already there? So our call is genuine to ensure and make sure that we come together as a people to ensure that we bring to the table the solutions of electricity, the solutions of water, the solutions of food crisis, which Zambia is grappling at the moment.
Some UPND Alliance members including Mr. Nsomni, have decided to part ways with the alliance, saying that the government has not kept its promises to the people, and that promises of economic improvement, living conditions being improved, have failed, and that the economic situations appear worse than it used to be 4 years ago. So how do you call on people to join when some of your people in the alliance that want power are saying that you have failed the people?
One thing I can bring to your attention is that a significant number of leaders that have left the alliance, it was not because the government failed to deliver to the people of Zambia what was promised. It's not that. A good number of them, they wanted their personal aggrandizement. A significant number of leaders that left the UPND alliance, it is because they really wanted to be given jobs immediately, while the government was trying to settle. And because they thought that those jobs were delaying to come, they decided to leave. So that they became critics of the government, to say that to the government, what its economic agenda, it is not based on what we agreed upon. One thing I can tell you is that when this government was formed in 2021, Zambia we still have a huge debt mountain that we need to dismantle. Secondly, our exchange rate is high. The reason is simple. It can only be attributed that Zambia was not producing what it was supposed to produce.
In one of your campaigns, I remember the alliance, UPND alliance, saying that the power outage being experienced 3-4 years ago was due to incompetence. But now the people of Zambia are saying things have gotten so bad that they only experience electricity for 3 hours out of the 24 hours in a day. And that dead bodies in the mortuary are getting rotten, and that things are difficult than they used to be. How do you address their concern?
First and foremost, even the president of the Republic of Zambia, in his address in Parliament, acknowledged the fact that the people of Zambia are going through difficult challenges. And one message of hope that he gave to the people of Zambia was that all these issues of load shedding, the issues of water, the issue of food crisis that we're experiencing, it shall come to pass. The reason is simple. As we stand right now, Zambia has got enough machinery that are able to generate electricity to power the whole entire nation. But one thing you should understand is that for the past 60 years, we have always depended upon one source of power, which is hydro. So when this government came into being or into place, it stated that we need to change that trajectory. We need to look to other sources of energy, such as solar, such as wind, and if need be, coal and nuclear.
Ezra Ngulobe is the spokesperson for the governing United Party for National Development, or UPND. He spoke with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you will find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com and look for us on all your favorite social media. This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. But first, now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Secretary General Antonio Guterres should be commended for going quickly through the gates in the hope of squashing any misleading interpretation of the General Assembly resolution that was adopted last week. We have all become accustomed to the tendency of a segment of the international media to repeat endlessly the mantra that General Assembly resolutions are non-binding. This is incorrect. And Madam president of the ICJ and a member, while she was an academic, wrote a splendid book that explained the essence of United Nations law. She made it clear that even though in terms of peace and security matters, the General Assembly makes recommendations, administrative resolutions of the United Nations are binding on all member states. In fact, the Charter imposes a punishment on those members of the United Nations that fail to honor their financial obligation, mainly by losing their votes in the General Assembly. So it was correct for the Secretary General to note that this was an important resolution of the General Assembly. That resolution was passed by two-thirds majority, with 14 member states voting against and 43 members abstaining. I believe the time is ripe for members of the international media to try to listen to the explanation of vote in the General Assembly before the vote or after the vote. Because if you listen carefully to the 43 members that abstain, you will find that they are in sync with the draft resolution. By and large, they raise three issues of concern. In the first place, they said the General Assembly resolution overreached. That place in the resolution things were not said by the ICJ. This is debatable. One can make a strong argument that the resolution stays within the confines of the decision of the International Court of Justice. Another issue of concern that was raised, that they are not happy with the time set in the resolution for the end of occupation. That, to many, is very strange. After so many decades of illegal occupation, according to the International Court of Justice, is 1 year too long? How long should one prolong the occupation of Palestinian land? And the other point that was raised by many of those that abstain is they do not understand why the resolution mentions the issue of sanctions against Israel if it fails to comply with the resolution. One must recall that many of the members of the Global North have taken upon themselves to adopt unilateral sanctions of all sorts against those they believe are not in compliance with their rule of a world based on rules. And it is not perfect to understand that what the resolution says, that the courts really called on member states not to comply or assist those violating international law and humanitarian law in the Middle East. And it is not far-fetched to understand that what was being implied, that there may be many members of the General Assembly who, as members of a willing coalition, they want to apply their own sanction against any state that fails to carry out the decision of the United Nations.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa. This is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
Ivan Pesi, Nicolas Gonzalez. Big energy, big harmony, sweet harmony, sweet melody. When you do touch your body, no remedy, that's why they call me.
Fire, then we drop down disco. And you want my con, I want me go. Then go start to dance like Cisco. The girl do sweet like a pico. Them no be the ball, no just Cisco. Pro level, all the monkey goes. Since we the ball, no shit. It's gone, I finito. New label, don't you like Mala? Blow them go like Alan. I go check before them balance. Money won't come, bam. I come and it flow like dollar. Like Babola, I see Sato Shwala. Lamba, they me, I galas. Money won't come, bam. I did grind like I just begin. Allah. Anytime I bust 16, up I got up where it like I'm from beneath. It does them a gun beneath. Yeah, they try show love, but I don't believe. The old team was to come police. The jungle where they come from, I conquer it. Yeah, do the travel, keep to Babisa. Ori me, you could be any two fashisha. Fashia every day, nigga, move for kissa. Painting pictures for you, beauty Mona Lisa. The blessings are heavenly. No stress in it, effortless. Flow heavily. Now you know who you effing with. The swag is loud and definite. Fire them with top down disco. Hey, you want my con, I want nigga. Then we start to dance like Cisco. The girl do sweet like a pico. Them know who they ball with your Cisco. Bro level all the monkey pose. Since we the ball with no shit too. It's gone, it's gone, I'm finito. New label, don't you like Mala? Blow them go like Alan. I go check before them balance. Money won't come, bam. I come on the flow like dollar. Like Babola, I see Sato Shwala. Lamba, they me, I got it. Money won't come, bam. So yeah, to bad the bus stop with bole. This an a lot to keep delay. Looky, looky, put money while I be give a babo. Man just feel like I be balloon. Yeah, see this a gazo. Action ain't for nothing I can do. Yeah, muti staga, I'm a muti njogo. Keep a rocky, come and keep up. Everlasting, we go live long. Shabara can't tell me which one. Say that this one, I be not that one. Moto show mu ma palo mi le salo o mo ya kalo shimo pola uluwa le mi fi mano kere wa baby wa jo kede you pepe for eyes like a puniki I be your guy your aboki mi jeje malo shagidi o beki no o binti I be like Richard Mille anything you want I do for you. Oh oh,
is it because I cry too often that you don't believe me when I say I'm hurting? Is it because you think I forgave you? I'm just pretending cause I'm hoping we'll get through with this. I might be mad in love with you. Even hard, all the pain that I've been through, but I'm still hurting, holding on to the fear of losing. I'm taking my heart, it's all I have. I'm more than only one that loves me. Is it because cause you're my mother's favorite. Dad, when I don't text you back, you call her to get me. I might be mad in love with you. Even hide all the pain in front of you, but I'm still taking my heart. It's all I have. I'm more than enough to love myself. It's been hard to accept that seasons change and feelings fade.
You remind me every time to see it through.
And that was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington.
I want you to be my Wonder Woman. Yeah. Maybe that but then you may see the one. Una nitesa. Check out the katana KGL.
Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, you're on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters and engineer Justin Thwaites, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, your elder brother cannot be on a mango tree and you eat on ripe mangoes. I'm your host, Peter Clote in Washington. Good evening, Africa.